speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he said, "Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, yeah, I have no pleasure in them." The youth then are very important, but it is very important that they remember, that they keep in their memory things concerning Jehovah, that they keep in their memory that they are important in the world, or God wouldn't have let them be here. You know, before we can know what we are able to do in the world, we have to test ourselves. Becoming Christians, of course, is the most important decision we'll make. Then whom we will marry will be the second most important. Where we will get our higher education is very important, because there are many infidels and atheists who would be glad to destroy your thoughts about God. But young people oftentimes all start out on the same level. We all did. And when you see success, young people, remember that person was once a young person too. You know, it has always been wonderful to think about David. David who went out to see about his brothers. And when he found them, there was one Goliath, 9 foot 9 inches tall, standing out there challenging the people of God. David said, What are you waiting for? But they said, "Well, David, you're crazy. What do you mean? You want to go out and fight this giant, little old youth like you?" David said, "God has delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear, and God will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And so he said, "I don't go in my own power or strength. I go in the strength and the power of God." When you know His will, and when you see the opportunity, take it. David took his little sling, picked up 5 smooth stones, and went out to meet that giant. And do you know as well as I do that when he got close enough to that giant, he swung the sting or the sling and then let that rock fly and hit him right in the middle of the head. And there he died. And he cut his head off. And that Philistine who was against God and the people of God was taken care of by this youth. There was also a youth in the home of Naaman, you know. She had been taken hostage there, actually. She was a captive. And this little maiden, of course, we don't know her name, but we do know that she kept her master from dying. She told him about the prophet in Samaria who was able to heal his leprosy. And so because of that, she was a very, very important young person. Your name doesn't have to be known, young people, to be important. But God knows who you are, and God knows the way that you walk. Now let's read together John 6, beginning with verse 1. After these things, talking of that which had happened concerning John the Baptist being killed and buried, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And great multitudes followed him because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude cometh unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one might take just a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he saith unto him, "There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people to sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down, and the number of men was about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them to all that were sat down, likewise also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost." And they gathered them, filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, "This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." This to them proved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He said, of course, in verse 26 here, "The only reason some of you are following me is for the bread that I am furnishing for you. And you're really not interested in my teaching. But isn't it good to read this account and find about the Lord here as He feeds 5,000 people with just a small amount of food? You know, this account is written throughout the New Testament. All of the accounts are given in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. And this, of course, in John. Matthew tells us many things about this situation that Jesus had just heard that John had been put to death. And then again, Mark tells us in Mark 6, verse 32 through 44, that He sat down the multitude in ranks of 100s and 50s. Now this, of course, at 5,000 people was a few more than we could put in this building this morning. We don't have quite 5,000 present, although if they let a preacher guesstimate, we might come close. But you know, 5,000 people is quite a few people, isn't it? And can you imagine the size of the ground that they all sat down on there? They sat down ready to eat. And all they had here was just a small amount of food. Luke tells us that Jesus was healing many. And that this, of course, proved His preaching. The miracles that He did. Jesus knew what He would do, it says here in verse 6. Although He said to His disciple here, well, what are we going to feed these people? He knew what He was going to feed them. So why wouldn't it be true that He who could heal the sick could feed 5,000 people? What would be so difficult about that? Well, it's not difficult at all. Because indeed both of these things were a miracle. Now the miracles of our Lord caused people to believe, first of all, that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Second of all, that the word which He spoke came from God, came from heaven. And it caused many to believe here. That was His purpose. And the purpose of the miracles, of course, were soon served when the written New Testament came. There were no more miracles. Because the miracles had served their purpose. And it proved to these people that Jesus was the Christ, or as verse 14 says, the promised Messiah. Well, in noticing John 3, 1 and 2, it says that Nicodemus also believed that. There was a man, he said, of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miraculous works that thou doest except God be with him. Now, what was the purpose of the miracles? To prove that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did it work? Indeed it did. It worked with Nicodemus. It also worked with these people who were fed, 5,000 strong men, on this day. Then in John 20, 30 and 31, He says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the sight of His disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through His name. I hope all of us understand clearly then the purpose of the miracles and why we do not have miracles in the world today. They serve their purpose, therefore they were removed. You know, many are identified in the Bible as great men. Many are identified as doing great works. And so when we read about these great works and the influence these people had, such as the Apostle Peter, he preached the first gospel sermon on Pentecost to the Jews, then he preached the first gospel sermon to the Gentiles in Acts 10. Great man, great man. He's called by name many times. In fact, Jesus loved him dearly. Then there's also James. You know, he was the first Christian martyr. James was beheaded by old Herod because of his service to God. Great man. One that we'd never want to forget. His name is written in gold in the book of life. There's the name James. Then there's the name John, who was indeed the Lord's friend. He stuck closer to Him than a brother. He was one whom He could depend on. And John, of course, was always there when Jesus needed John. His name's there too. And then there's Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, if we include the book of Hebrews, and I believe we should. He was a great gospel preacher, took many missionary tours, saw many people baptized into Christ. Great man, did great work. His name's written in gold in the book of life too. But then there's some. Like this lad. Did you notice the lad mentioned in this account in John 6? You know, Matthew didn't mention him. Mark didn't even mention that there was a lad there. Luke didn't mention him, but John did. And that's the only way we would know about this lad. He assisted in an important work, didn't he? He's not named, though. We wouldn't have known who he was and still don't know his name, but we do know that he was an unnamed hero of the Bible. You know, whether your name is ever brought out in lights or not is not the real importance, is it? It's whether you do the right thing in life. And this young man did the right thing. Andrew may have known this lad. I don't know. But I know one thing for sure. He didn't call him by name. He merely referred to him. He said, "There's a lad here." Do you see that in verse 9? "There is a lad here who hath five barley loaves and two fishes. But what are these among so many?" I love that statement. There was or there is a lad here. Well, you know, some of our graduates are going to be out in the world. Some will say, "Well, what's this one good for?" And some will say, "I don't think he's good for much of anything." But you know what? There's always an opportunity for you. There is a lad that is here. And so though he didn't call his name, he indicated that this small quantity of food which this young man had, only five loaves and two fishes, he said to the Lord that that would fall quite short of feeding these multitudes. And so Jesus said, "Bring it to me." Jesus said, "Bring me that food." "You mean you can use these few loaves and fishes?" That's what the Lord said. That's the reason I'm impressed with the fact that he says, "There is a lad here." There is a lad here. Jesus first of all gave thanks, as we all ought to do before we eat. He gave thanks for that which was provided, and then he began to give it to those 5,000 men. Now, of course, there were more than 5,000 here. There were ladies there. There were children there. Perhaps there was 10 to 15,000 people that were sitting in 50s and 100s here that were fed with the five loaves and the two fishes. Well, this lad may have thought that he actually held more in his hand than Andrew realized. After the Lord got through, he said, "Yes, you said it wasn't enough, but look what the Lord did with it." Well, you know, graduates, that's exactly what it may be with you. You may say, "Well, I don't have very much to offer." But ask what you can do in the Lord's service. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. Somewhat like our grads today, when the lad left home that day, he probably had no idea he was going to meet up with Jesus. He probably had no idea that he would have this type of day at all. You know, we never know what a day's going to hold, do we? Just doing our best and always offering our first place to God will always bring good in our lives, whether we're young or old. But the fact of the matter is, who knows what a day will bring. Likely, no thought was in his mind about even meeting the Lord, or especially being in the right place when the Lord needed his help. But here we see that he helped the Lord perform a miracle. There was, or there is, a lad here. Then also likely there was no thought that it would be he who would have the necessary resources that Jesus wanted and needed in order to assist the king. He was there at the right time in the right place. And he had the right things that were needful for the king. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind that he had no thought at all that John the Apostle would write a paragraph about him in the text of the Bible. There is a lad here. He has some fish and bread. You know, we really make our own epitaph, and you will make yours. What you do in the world will be your epitaph. What you don't do may be your shame. But when you stand faithfully for the Lord, history will write good about you. And so we want to exhort our graduates today, just as with this lad, that they make for themselves the right way by being in the right place at the right time with the right goods. You know, this lad may have been acquainted with Peter, James, and John. I don't know. He may have known Andrew. And perhaps he even hoped to go fishing with them that day. I don't know what his thought was when he came there, but he had no thought that there were going to be 5,000 people eat off of his little lunch. He may have persuaded his mother that morning to fix that lunch for him, as many young men have done since then. And you might say it was five cold biscuits and two salty fish and this dried fish that he had in his sack. I don't know whether he had a cane pole with him or not. I don't know whether he had a string on that pole with a hook and maybe a lead sinker and a few worms in a can. I don't know how he was going. But I know one thing. He may have had that blue denim shirt on, that bullseye overall struck over him, and that straw hat on his head. And I can almost see his lunch in that bag and stuffed in his back pocket, can't you? He wasn't in any way looking for the Lord at that day. But then again, there was that opportunity. Can you see him strolling down that dusty road with that pole and those worms and maybe a lunch wrapped in his paper bag in his back pocket, you know, as he wandered along? All of a sudden, his attention was drawn to the side of the road. Here's a great group of people here. 5,000 men. A huge crowd. And drawing nearer, perhaps he recognized some of those men who were standing there. Maybe he knew them. I don't know. But at any rate, he may have sauntered up to the side of Andrew and tugged at his arm just a little bit. Andrew, could we go fishing today? What are we doing here? What's all of these people gathered for? I know that this lad, of course, that was there, that all eyes he realized were focused, all ears were glued to hearing what Jesus said. He saw that they were all tuned in to this one person, and he may have heard the saying, well, the multitude's here. It can't eat on this small amount. And it could be that he heard them say, you know, we'll just have to send into the city and get some food. Jesus had compassion on this audience, of course. He didn't want them to be hungry. He may have heard Philip say, well, there's just not enough. You know, it's about $34. It'd take at least that much to feed these people, just giving them a little bit. Well, $34 like at that time was like $3,000 now. So he says, you know, there's not enough money to buy the amount of food that's necessary for so many. And it could have been that this lad may have pulled him down and said, I don't have much, but I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I'd be happy to share them with you if you'd like. I don't know whether that's the case or not, but somewhat skeptical of the proposal, it seems to me that this man said to the Lord, Andrew says, well, Lord, there is a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but I know that's not enough under a crowd like this. I don't know whether that's what happened or not, but I know that Jesus indicated, bring me those loaves and bring me those fishes. And so he produces enough food for 5,000 men plus women and children. And as I said, that may have equaled 15,000. We don't know. But not only did he convert these loaves and fishes into enough bread to feed all of these people, we realize they picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers when they got done. You talk about a miracle. Here's a great, great miracle, isn't it? And here's that little lad. You know, that unnamed lad may have seemed to have been a poor excuse for a person so far as they thought that day. Well, what can he do? But he became famous right there. Although he was insignificant, when he started out from home, he will always be remembered. There is a lad here, and he can be used. And you know, my friends, this unnamed lad, he may have seemed insignificant, as I said, to the world, but he was important to the Lord, because the Lord was able to use that which that lad had. He didn't have much. But you know, who but Jesus could see this fair-haired boy and his possessions as necessary to accomplish his purpose? You know what Jesus said here? He said, make the men to sit down. Why didn't he say, listen, go on into town? No. He said, you make the men to sit down on the grass in the place. So the men sat down, and the number was about 5,000, says verse 10. And so it's interesting to see this account, isn't it? I know our time is gone. But I know also that this evening we're going to continue our thoughts here. And we're going to learn some lessons from this young man. There is a lad here. And that lad's going to be important. And indeed, the Lord is going to give us some exhortation that we need concerning that young man and what we might do in life ourselves. I'm hopeful that every graduate in this audience, every person in this audience, will see the need to use what they have. This young man used what he had. He didn't have much, but he had enough to do a great service for the Lord and for those people who were hungry. This morning you may have more than you know. You may have more talent. You may have more ability. The only thing you need to do is start using it, maybe. You can hear the gospel today and believe it with all of your heart. You can repent of the sins of your life, confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men, be buried with your Lord in baptism, and that'll wash away your past sins. And you'll arise from that watery grave to walk in the newness of life and live that life for Him who loved you enough to die for you so that you wouldn't be punished eternally in hell. But until you take advantage of that blood, you're not going to be cleansed. And of course, the blood is reached in the waters of baptism. So if you this morning want to be of use to the Lord, you can be. If you have been a child of God, yet you have faltered by the wayside, you haven't used the talents that you have, you need to repent of that. You need to make that change this morning. Decide now to do that which is right. And if we may assist you, come now, while together we stand and while we sing.